chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." In Timothy, we're taught that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if it's Scripture, it's inspired. Amen? It's profitable, the Bible says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I quote that verse quite often, reminding us that sometimes if we're not careful, we can gloss over some things that look like little things. But folks, there are no little things in the Word of God. Everything's important, amen? When you get to heaven and you understand the Word of God more perfectly, as God opens our eyes even more clearly, you're going to realize that some of the things that we just glossed over because they seemed like something that to us was, I hate to use the word, but perhaps trivial or not that important. It was very important. Little things are important. So in Colossians chapter 4, if you look at the structure of the chapter, beginning in verse 7, Paul begins to talk to the Colossians in a casual way regarding some people. He talks about Tychicus in verse 7, and then he talks about a man named Onesimus in verse 9, and Aristarchus in verse 10, and Epaphras in verse 12, and Luke and Demas in verse 14, and so on. And the remainder of the chapter after verse 7, including verse 7, from 7 to 18, is just kind of a wrapping it up, so to speak. We're not going to look at that tonight. We'll look at that next week and perhaps the week after if we don't finish it next week. But right before that last series of salutations and seemingly casual comments, the first six verses of chapter 4 are very, very instructive. And remember something. Sometimes it's the very last things that we say that carry the great deal of weight. In other words, if you are about to say goodbye to somebody, you contemplate, you consider those last words you're going to say to them before you say farewell. And those are important words. These are important words that he leaves us with here in the first part of Colossians chapter 4. They may seem little, but they're really not. They're very important. And so I want to look at these three things that he emphasizes in verses 1 through 6. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. And I'll read out loud as you follow along silently in Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight as we assemble as a local church, we long to have you meet with us with power and with clarity and directly. And tonight we long that you would teach us from your word. Lord, having read the word, you've promised that you'd bless the reading of it and the preaching of it. But Lord, again, without you, we know we can do nothing. And so tonight we lift up these next few moments to you, asking you to bless and to do things that we cannot do. I do pray tonight that as we see these last few instructions that Paul gave the Colossians, we would find those things that are important and relevant in our lives, and we would apply them. And Lord, forgive us when we don't do that. Lord, they may seem like just the last few details, but they're very important details. And God, help us tonight. I pray that you would, again, hear the prayers of your people as we have lifted them up to you this evening. And Father, we know that you promised us so many different times that you would answer our prayers. And thank you for this local church coming together tonight and lifting up folks in need and situations in need and our desire to see you work in our midst. I pray you'd bless now. As we look into the Word of God, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Probably seen a situation to where maybe mom or dad are going to be leaving and they're going to be away from the children for a while. And I don't like goodbyes. None of us do. The good thing about being a Christian is that those of us that are saved, there's no permanent goodbye. Amen? It's completely different. You think about Don Stevens, and he's laying there in that bed in Fowler, Colorado, and he's about to step into eternity, and there's no secret about that. But nobody that knows him, that's around him, is not his daughters, not his wife, not his friends that are from the church, for example. None of them expect that they'll never see him again. They'll see him again. And we don't necessarily grieve for him outside of the fact that he might be suffering, but we grieve for the absence that we'll face for a short time. And I suspect that if he still is cognizant enough, or if he may have done so already, that before he leaves, he'll say a last few things to his family. And he knows his family, and he knows what they need to hear. And he's got two daughters. Both of them had worked for us in Maryland for quite a few years, and one of them is now married, living in Tennessee. The other one is still on staff there at the church in Maryland where I was the pastor. And he probably will say something poignant to them that is useful in their lives. Don't miss what I'm about to say. God knows what we need to hear. Now, in the Bible, there may be some things, for example, this very first verse in chapter 4, that you don't find as applicable as some people might. The very first instruction he gives them, this little instruction here, regards, I'm going to use the word pay just for the sake of alliteration or payment. He says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." Now, you're saying perhaps, "Pastor, nobody works for me." Well, okay. There's still a right way to recompense people. The fact of the matter is, at any point in time, there's probably somebody serving you. And we serve other people as well. For example, I had a fellow that came over to my house a couple of weeks ago to do some work for me, and I negotiated a deal with him. Now, I could have tried to just beat him up and get the lowest price I possibly could, even though it wasn't fair, but I didn't do that. And I wanted a good price, but I also wanted him to be compensated. And it was a good situation when it ended. For what he did, he got paid really well. And for what I paid him, what I got, I liked really well. And it was fair. It wasn't too low for him. It wasn't too high for me. It was right. In dealing with other people, we should be fair. Amen? And folks, a lot of people serve us. You have somebody that works on your car. They serve you, and it's right to recompense them. I had a fellow in our church in Maryland, and he had gone to a church somewhere in the Midwest and had done a whole bunch of work for them on their vehicles. He was an auto mechanic, he was pretty good at it, and they didn't pay him a penny. They didn't even offer to pay him, and of course, you know, maybe they thought it was something he was donating. But he was offended by that. That's wrong. If somebody does some work for our church, if they come to me and say, "I've had this happen, Pastor, I want to do this at no cost." Even then, sometimes I'll say, "No, I think we need to pay you something." But certainly we shouldn't just take advantage of people. Amen? It's just that simple. You know, we understand what it means to be a Christian when it comes to things like the way we speak, you know, not using foul language, or maybe the way we dressing modestly, or maybe the places that we do or don't go or whatever. But being a Christian is also being fair to people. Amen? In payment. The words here are interesting. The word master is the same word applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Greek word kurios. It means Lord. A servant is somebody that could be voluntary or not. The word just means that which is right or righteous. And we know what the word equal means there, that there's equal benefit on both sides of the transaction. A lot of people, I was talking to this fellow this morning that came over to visit with me. A lot of people have grown very wealthy by underpaying people. That's a shame if you're a Christian. And then I guess the reference here in verse 1 that might fit really nicely is this. He says, if you're a master, if you have someone serving you, you understand what you should do because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ and he's our master. Amen? And how do you want him to deal with you? He deals with us better than we deserve, by the way. So there's this thought of payment. How should we treat those that serve us, whether they're employees or subordinates or those in the work service industry? It should not ever be the case that, please don't do this, don't leave a tract on the table in a restaurant and then a cheesy tip. Right? You say, well, Pastor, they should just accept the tract and be happy that I gave them the gospel. No, it's understood in this country that in a service industry, you tip 15% is traditional. That's about 1/6 of the bill. I love the little story, the little boy I've told you before that went to the ice cream counter and ordered ice cream, and he laid his money on the counter, and the waitress said, well, you've got enough money here for a topping. And he said, not if I tip you. Amen? And so when you go to the restaurant, that's part of the bill. Amen? Now, if you go to a foreign country, Thailand, for example, I don't know why, but in Thailand, we went out one night and we went out and ate pizza, and there were six of us, and I mean, we ate pizza. And they literally met us at the door and graciously walked us into the restaurant and sat us down and waited on us hand and foot. And we were there for a good hour and a half with this missionary and his family and had a great time. And at the end, the missionary gave a 50-cent tip. And I said, what? He said, no, no, in Thailand, that's all you give. They understand that. That's what they're expecting. And so the culture there is different. Folks here, people are expecting more than 50 cents. Amen? Hey, they're serving you. We're going to do what's just and equal. And oh, just by the way, it's been my experience. I think it's yours as well. I've never ever tipped somebody and then later wished I had that money. God provides. Amen? So let's be generous to folks. The just and equal. Treat people fairly. Treat people the way you want the Lord to treat you. Now, this next point, quite easily, will take the rest of our time. He says in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then he's going to elaborate upon that. But let's just look at verse 2 by itself. We know what the word continue means. Keep on going. Listen. Yeah, I'm 60. The devil's been fighting me for a few decades. I know how he works. The devil's going to try and stop you from being faithful, isn't he? The devil's got two tactics. I've mentioned one of them quite frequently. The devil will tell you, you can do that tomorrow. The other thing the devil will say to you is, oh, you did that yesterday. He'd like to not get you started, or he'd like to stop you from whatever you're doing. Have you ever noticed this? I've noticed it. You have decided to set aside some time to pray. Isn't it funny all the sudden distractions that can come up? You ever notice that? The phone can ring. Somebody will come to the door. You'll find out that you forgot to turn the oven off and you're burning something, or you know, the dog wants out, or 100 things that the devil will try to do to keep you from kneeling down in prayer. But we're going to keep praying. Amen. Now. Just listen. What do you think would happen if everybody in this room spent I'm just going to throw a number out. I don't want to scare you. If everybody in this room spent a half an hour in prayer tomorrow. What are we, 25 people here tonight? By the way, I think it's a question of quality, not quantity. But if you ever kneel down and pray faithfully for the people in your church, for the situations that God tells us to pray for, like our nation, for our missionaries, for special needs that we have in our church, for the ministries of our church, for the people that are ill in our church. There's no way you can do that in less than half an hour. There's no way. If everybody tomorrow prayed for half an hour, do you think things would be different? Amen? Say, Pastor, I can't take that much time. We could if we would. He says, continue in prayer. If you have been praying, and the assumption is that you have, and I hope you have, don't stop. If you've stopped, start up again. You know, the other day, I had a power failure at my house in the afternoon. And I didn't even know, I didn't notice it except that my alarm system shut down and sent me a message that said there's a power failure. And then about a half an hour later, the power came back on. And I don't like it when there's power failures. For one thing, now I got to go around and reset half the clocks in my house that don't have backup batteries because they're dead. And got to fiddle around with the computer to get it to work again, stuff like that. And not to mention the fact that when the power's out, the air conditioner's out, that's not good. And, you know, what happens when we stop praying is there's a power failure. Do you understand how much we need God's power? I'm afraid, can I say this? I'm afraid we've gotten used to not having God's power. And then we just don't notice the difference. Folks, let's pray. Continue in prayer. Now, watch what he says. He's not being selfish. He's being practical. By the way, the word watch means to be vigilant, to be awake. Matthew 24:42 commands us to watch for the Lord's coming. If you ever wonder what that word means, just think about this. Think about someone who has the watch in the night. They're a night watchman. They stay awake. They stay alert. They don't go to sleep. They keep an eye. They're vigilant. They're on top of things. That's what the word watch means. He says watch in the same. And then you've heard this before, with thanksgiving. Why would I pray with thanksgiving? What does that mean? Well, we have a lot to be thankful for. One thing we have to be thankful for is that God answers prayer. One thing we have to be thankful for is that God forgives our sins. Oh, by the way, here's another lie the devil tells you, is God's not going to listen to you. Yeah, God will listen to you. You try this. The people here that have children, they're young. I love picking on Bronson. He's my favorite test subject here. When I was younger, my son was his age, and my son said, Dad, quit using me for sermon illustrations. And it really didn't, he didn't like it. To this day, he'll tell me when I'm preaching, don't talk about me, don't talk about me. But I got Bronson and his dad right here, okay? So I'm going to do a little experiment. I hope this comes out well. All right? Does Bronson ever offend you, brother? Does he ever do anything wrong? Oh, yeah. Okay. When he does something wrong, do you just kick him out in the street and say he's not your son anymore? You thought about it. No, you love him. You understand he's not perfect. We know he's not perfect. I'm just having a little fun here. So when Bronson does something that's wrong, you want to make that right. Because I know, because I'm a dad, that one of the greatest joys in your life, and I don't want to leave the girls out, is you love your children. And you want your children to thrive and be happy and do well. And therefore, you want to teach them the right way. And so when Bronson sins against you and offends, you try to make that right. In the meanwhile, you don't stop caring for his welfare. And if Bronson suddenly had a huge problem and came to you, you'd help him. Amen? Now, this is an earthly father. And the Bible says God's even better at being a father than we are. Amen? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when I pray, you say, but Pastor, I've sinned. Well, okay, who hasn't? And by the way, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, I believe that is. He will forgive you if you ask him to. And then he'll make things right with you again. And he is our Father. He loves us. I'm thankful for that. And when I pray for things, when I pray with thanksgiving, and this may, well, just I'll just say it. There's an anticipation that God's going to answer, and I'm thankful for that as well. I'm thankful I have somebody to go to pray. I'm thankful that God hears our prayers. He doesn't have to. He does so. Amen? Pray with thanksgiving. All right, I got to get going here. Look at verse 3. Now, look what he says. With all. And that's an interesting little word. It means with all. It means together with this, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And then he continues the sentence, that I make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, I would think, if you understand what's happening in this letter, this is one of the last things Paul's asking them to do. He says, make sure you're fair with those that serve you. He says, now, make sure you keep praying, and please pray for me. And what did he ask prayer for? He wanted to get the gospel out. That's a priority in his life. Amen? He could have said, pray that they let me out of prison. Indirectly, he is kind of saying that, but that wasn't his prayer. He didn't know what God was going to do. He just wanted an open door to preach the gospel. Oh, by the way, when God puts you in a strange place and you really didn't think you ought to be there, maybe he put you there for a reason. Amen? Maybe somebody there needs to hear the gospel. Next time you find yourself in a waiting room or in a hospital or whatever, somebody might need to hear the gospel. Paul was in prison. He says, pray for us that God would open to us a door of utterance, a place where he could proclaim the gospel. We understand that concept because sometimes you can't find anybody to listen to you. We go through that occasionally when we go out on weekdays. Usually we do, but we need somebody that would listen. We need a door open, a door of utterance, that we can speak to those folks. And he says that he can speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. The reason Paul was in prison was because he had been preaching the gospel. But he wasn't going to quit. Have you ever gotten yourself in a bad situation because you obeyed God? It was a misnomer. Have you ever gotten yourself in a situation because you obeyed God? That's okay. If you obeyed God and that's where he put you, it's a good place to be. And he knows where to put you and how to get you there. He says that I may make it manifest, and look at these last four words, as I ought to speak. You ever keep quiet when you ought to speak? Well, referring to the gospel, I think sometimes we do. We shouldn't. We should speak. People need to hear it. There are things we ought to not say, but the gospel is certainly something that ought to be declared. All right, very quickly, just let me finish this last little thought here, and we will be done. So we've seen the idea of payment, this fairness between master and servant. We've seen this, the importance of prayer, that dedication to it, continuance, vigilance, thankful to God, and then praying for God's word to get out and for people that, missionaries and so forth, that proclaim the word of God. Then there's a path that he talks about here in verse 5. He says, walk. We walk down paths. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, here's what he's saying. Anytime you see the word wisdom in the Bible, don't think of it as human cunning. Think of it as properly applying the word of God. Wisdom is knowing what God's will is and doing it. That's wisdom. It would be, we talked about this, it would be foolish to know God's will and not do it. It's wise to do it. He says, walk that way towards them that are without. Some of us have lost family members. Those lost family members need to see who we are in Christ. Amen? Some of us have friends that we work with or co-workers that are lost. They need to see who we are in Christ. He says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. You are the only Bible some people will ever read, someone said. And we need to make sure that that Bible has a very clear text. Redeeming the time, and isn't the time limited? We have very little time left. We have little time in our lives. We have little time before the Lord returns. There are a lot of people out there that need to hear the gospel. A lot of people that need to be reached. And we don't have the luxury of wasting the time. Very quickly, I'll read verse 6 and we'll close. It says, let your speech be always with grace. You know, grace, of course, is favor that someone doesn't deserve. Talking to this fellow this morning and 2 hours, and somewhere in about the 90-minute mark, he said to me, he said, you're very calm. I thought, okay, what's to get excited about? Let me ask you this, what's to get excited about? You say, Pastor, there's something offensive or whatever. I know, but you know what? Let's just be gracious. And I fail at that too sometimes. I apologize when I do. Shouldn't be that way. Seasoned with salt. And, of course, we think of the Word of God there, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. That's interesting, that there's some answers that we ought to be able to give that would come from grace and from the Word of God. Well, and then he's going to start in this next few verses talking about some folks that he knows, but that's the last thing he had to say to the Colossians. And folks, it's the Word of God, amen? And it should stand up in our lives as something very important, just as it did with them. Let's all stand, if you would, please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.